from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a new report on how exporting LGBT ideology is the Biden administration's foreign policy priority. Bad legislation in California that would charge parents with child abuse if they don't go along with their child's wishes for gender mutilation. And good legislation in Congress that would require parental notification for abortions on minors. Greetings, Washington Watch listeners. This is Jody Heiss filling in for David Salkeld. I'm the senior advisor to the president here at the Family Research Council. This past Wednesday, Washington Watch host Tony Perkins was joined by Illinois Congresswoman Mary Miller, a member of the House Education and Workforce Committee. They talked about a new bill that she introduced that day. Here's how Tony got the discussion started.
When the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last summer, actually 1 year ago, they created the opportunity for increased legislation to protect the sanctity of human life on both the federal and the state level. See, what had happened for nearly 50 years is the court had taken this out of the hands of elected officials. And so for years, for decades, elected officials candidates ran on the issue of allowing elected representatives to deal with the issue of the sanctity of human life. And that's what the court decision did. It did not outlaw abortion. It simply said, this is no longer for the courts, it's for the people's elected representatives. Now, in the wake of this, we've had, as I played earlier in the program, Governor Chris Christie, former governor, that this is an issue for the states. Well, yes, the states have a role in this, but so does the federal government. So does Congress. And in fact, one such bill, the Parental Notification and Intervention Act, would require abortion industry organizations that accept federal funding to inform the parents of any minor seeking an abortion, because what happens is they'll cross state lines to avoid provisions in one state. And this provides the opportunity for parents to intervene when we're talking about minor children. Joining me now to discuss this is Congresswoman Mary Miller. She serves on the House Committee on Agriculture and the House Committee on Education and the Workforce. She represents the 15th Congressional District of Illinois. Congresswoman Miller, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for allowing us to have a voice to let people know what's going on here
in Congress. Thank you. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this legislation and what it will do.
Well, it's going to allow parents to be notified. The abortion provider is going to, if a minor woman comes in seeking abortion, the provider has to notify the parents and give them 4 days to intervene. And if they violate this, there's going to be a $100,000 fine and jail time. And basically what it is giving parents their rights. And parents are here to protect their children like no one else. And that's, I think, what's happening in our country in light of the attack on parental rights would have been unimaginable a few years ago. But we need to fight back. You know, our good friend, Pastor Erwin Lutzer from Chicago, I quote him all the time. He said, evil will never retreat on its own, only when it's confronted by a more powerful force. And we just have to look for these opportunities to be a force against parental rights.
Well, and that's what the New Testament says about lawlessness. The spirit of lawlessness is already here, and it will become even greater as that which restrains it is removed, and that is the Holy Spirit, which finds its place in believers today. That's why we need to be out in positions to do that restraining, and that's why I appreciate you leading with this legislation. I'm going to go back just for clarification. When you talk about the fines here, this is for the abortionist that would pursue and violate this law of not notifying a parent. So I just want to clarify that. So we're talking about minor children. Parents want to know. I mean, vast majority of parents want to be there for this life-altering decision that a child might make.
Yeah. Well, and I like that it's going to cause there to be a four-day waiting period, because I do believe that if women were fully informed, if they were required to have an ultrasound, and if they had time to think it through, and had wise counsel, I think a lot of women would change their minds. I think they're in a panic, yeah. They're driven by fear, they're getting bad counsel, it's a rash decision, and here we're going to slow it down. Hopefully the parents will get the daughter medical intervention and wise counsel and share the truth with the daughter.
Well, I go back, it's a well-used analogy, but you know, most schools in America, before they would give an aspirin or medication to a student, they're going to have to get parental permission to do
yes.
so. So we're talking here about a life-altering and a life-destroying decision
right.
on behalf of these abortion clinics. I think it's a great piece of legislation. I think it's very much needed.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm always going to stand up for parental rights. And I was listening to your segment before this about prayer, and I just want to encourage people that I got up early this morning and met with quite a few other congresspeople to pray for our country. And one of the things that was said was much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no prayer, no power. So I appreciate that you're encouraging everybody to pray for our country.
Well, and to pray for our members of Congress and other elected officials who are called by God to be in the roles that you're in and trying to uphold righteousness and fight for those things which are true, those things which are right, parental rights. I mean, that's fundamental.
You can find out more about Congresswoman Mary Miller when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Hi, I'm Joseph Backholm, host of the Outstanding Podcast, inviting you to join me as we discuss the news of the day and the issues that shape us. Yes, I know there are a lot of podcasts, but there are not a lot of podcasts that help you think biblically about the world we live in. Christians are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. With that in mind, the Outstanding Podcast takes you behind the headlines to help you understand not only what happened, but why. So, if you're looking for something informative, casual, hopeful, and entertaining that will help you see what God is doing in the world and how to respond, the Outstanding Podcast is for you. We talk to people that you know and some that you don't know but probably should. And I promise that, like me, you'll learn something every time. So join us. Subscribe to the Outstanding Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or find it at WashingtonStand.com. It's not just another podcast. It's outstanding. I'll see you there.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss. On Tuesday of this week, Washington Watch host Tony Perkins was broadcasting live from the road in New Orleans, Louisiana, the site of the Southern Baptist Annual Convention. He was joined by the director of Family Research Council Center for Religious Liberty, Ariel Del Turco, who co-authored a new report, The Biden Administration's Foreign Policy Priority, Exporting the LGBT Ideology. Let's listen in.
All right, so tell us about what you and your co-author, Chris Gasek, found and established in this report.
Yeah, so I had the idea for this report. I have years of experience tracking international religious freedom, and I watched great policies unfold under the Trump administration and Secretary of State Pompeo that really pushed religious freedom around the world. They spoke up on behalf of the persecuted. And after President Biden came into office, I just saw all of that fall off. And where I saw the attention redirected was to the LGBT issue. To pushing LGBT policies on countries around the world who have no interest in it, who don't want it. Yet at the same time, a lot of them rely on America's friendship, America's alliance, America's foreign assistance. So that is a lot of leverage for the Biden administration to use to coerce countries around the world to start adopting some of these radical LGBT policies. So when my co-author and I took a look at what the Biden administration was doing, what we found was really a systematic effort to infect all aspects of American foreign policy with LGBT policies.
So they're tying the adoption of these policies, which we don't even accept
in the United States. Many states are pushing back, just like we're seeing with nearly 20 states now saying, no, we're not going to allow experimental surgeries on minors. They're saying they're pushing this in our foreign policy, and they're linking it to foreign aid. Is that right?
Absolutely. And the Biden administration is using our human rights apparatus. We're using the State Department's human rights report to condemn other countries who have not embraced pro-LGBT policies, like marriage, like legal gender recognition, which basically they want all of these countries to allow people to identify their own gender on birth certificates and driver's license. They're condemning countries for failing to adopt very radical policies that we adopted very recently. And as you said, this isn't even settled in the United States, yet we're being hypocritical by taking many of these policies that we adopted very recently and holding the world to this standard. And I think right. Americans would be very surprised at just how radical the United States is on many of these LGBT policies. Most of the world's population lives in countries that doesn't even affirm same-sex marriage. So we're looking at very different cultures that really don't appreciate this kind of ideological colonialism from the Biden administration.
Yeah, what's interesting about that, Arielle, that I discovered was at my time at the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, and what the State Department, as this, you mentioned Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who actually was the first to advance religious freedom as a number one foreign policy objective, but the resistance was so intense at the State Department because what the left has been doing is using the State Department to push this ideological agenda, this leftist agenda, out into foreign countries, only to have it come in the back door through the United Nations and say, well, everybody else is doing it, we got to do it too. And you're absolutely right. America is an outlier on many of these policies when you look globally. So what was the most alarming thing that you saw when you went through this report? What would you say? Wow, I had no idea.
I think just how insidious this is throughout the administration. You mentioned the State Department personnel. They really do have a secular worldview that, first of all, doesn't understand religion, doesn't understand the importance of religious freedom, and at the same time is very motivated for these leftist social causes. We see in U.S. embassies around the world, at least 49 embassies that have staffers participate in pride parades and marches. And we've heard just from our connections with other pro-family activists around the world that these activists are very disheartened when they see the U.S. embassy participating in pride marches in their countries. For them, what it sends is that the strongest country in the world, the United States, is marching through their capital city, and we're supporting an agenda that condemns their laws, that says, listen, your laws are not progressive enough, your laws are not Western enough, they're not secular enough, whatever the case may be. It's really, really condescending, and they feel that.
Final question for you, Arielle. Where can folks go to read a copy of this report?
Yeah, they can read the report at frc.org/exportingpride.
All right, Arielle Del Turco, great job. Thanks for joining us today.
Are you tired of worn-out talking points, misleading media bias, and hopeless commentary? The Washington Stand, Family Research Council's online daily news outlet, provides news and commentary on the most important issues of the day, all written from a biblical perspective. Get the facts with honest reporting so that you know how to stand firm in the face of today's biggest challenges. Stay informed, be encouraged, and stand firm in truth by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, A Study on Gender, Sexuality, and Marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. order your copy of this book at HeCreatedThem.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss. This past Wednesday, which was Flag Day, Washington Watch host Tony Perkins was joined by Family Research Council's Senior Fellow for Education Studies, Meg Kilgannon, to talk about the left's devotion to the LGBT lobby to the detriment of kids and families.
All right, today is Flag Day. Now, I said, actually, I said on Monday that it was this past Sunday, but I was mistaken. I guess I was a bit too eager to celebrate the American flag, but not as eager as the White House to celebrate the ever-changing flag of spiritual rebellion that they hoisted at the White House over the weekend. The American flag that we celebrate today unifies. It unifies Americans, where the pride flag divides, and it celebrates destruction. Now, you may have seen this or heard about it, but at the largest ever pride celebration at the White House this weekend, a man who now claims to be a woman and apparently went to great expense to create breasts to show that, he showed them off. Maybe they were paid for at tax dollars, I don't know, but he wanted to show the world on the White House lawn. Now, next to him was a woman who now claims to be a man who removed her shirt, exposing what had been removed. Now, what came to mind is I saw these pictures, which were blurred out, was, you know, this would have been an illustration for an illustrated Bible depicting Sodom and Gomorrah. That's probably what it would have looked like. Now, some of you may take that as being harsh, and it may be, but it's reality. Now, yesterday we covered a measure, and this is the White House, the White House, the lawn of the White House. I mean, it's pretty astounding. Well, yesterday we covered a measure in California, Assembly Bill 957, known as the Transgender, Gender Diverse, and Intersex Youth Empowerment Act, that would amend California's family code to make it clear that affirming a child's gender identity is part of the health, safety, and welfare of the child, which means a child could be taken from their parent if that parent does not affirm a destructive notion that has been placed in the child's head by the media or by their school's indoctrination. If somehow this destructive notion is in their head, it cannot be countered with the fact that God created them special just as they are. If a parent does not affirm it, that child could be taken away. Folks, I cannot be more clear about this. This is a red line for me. And it should be for every Bible-believing, God-fearing Christian in America. You cannot be a spectator and watch this and say you love the Lord and His Word. Now, yesterday, the former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, was asked about these moral cultural issues on CBS. And this is what he had to say. Clip 5, please.
I'm not a culture war guy. I think it's really polarizing. Look, on some of these issues, I'll side, you know, with the anti-woke crowd. But to me, I'm worried about a debt crisis. I'm worried about, you know, the future of our country and China. There are big policy problems that we need to tackle if we want to have a great 21st century for this country.
Excuse me? You're not a cultural war guy? Well, you know what? He's actually speaking truth, because when he was House Speaker, he did nothing to advance the cause of life or the family. And with his focus on economic issues in the 21st century and beyond, well, let me just tell you, there is no future without a moral foundation. That's the reality. America doesn't have a material problem. It has a moral and a spiritual problem. I mean, you can see that. Our economic problems are getting worse. Why? I would argue because of our moral and spiritual foundation has eroded. And our economy has nothing to stand on. Lawlessness runs rampant in our streets. Well, California is not alone in attacking parents' rights and families. This week, the governors of Maryland and New York City issued executive orders declaring their state sanctuary for gender mutilation of minors. The American Medical Association's they strengthen support for gender mutilation. And this, of course, is while countries in Europe are dialing back this stuff because they realize how destructive it is. But America's left is marching on. Nevada put a new law into place this week that requires health insurance companies to pay for gender mutilation. Illinois, a new law favoring sexually explicit materials in schools. So this is not isolated. What is happening in California is not isolated. This is coming. If it's not already there, it's coming to your community. It's coming to your children. It's coming for your children. Joining me now to discuss this is Meg Kilgannon, Senior Fellow for Education Studies here at the Family Research Council. She served in the Department of Education during the Trump administration. Meg, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
So let's start by discussing California's AB 957 that came out of committee yesterday. Let's talk about what it would do and its ramifications.
Yeah, you know, it's a terrible bill. It would allow for the state to take away the children of parents who do not affirm a child's sexual identity as the child declares it. So essentially, it completely reverses the role of the parent and the child, and it supplants the parental role with the state. And when I hear comments like that from former Congressman Paul Ryan, it's so tiring to hear politicians talk this way. That implies that somehow if I'm objecting to that kind of measure in this quote unquote culture war, that I'm, you know, hateful, or I'm the one who's the problem. I'm not, you know, affirming people or loving people or what have you. And it's exactly the kind of thing that has caused parents to literally, you know, man the battle posts,
right,
in the culture war, go into school board meetings and speak out against this kind of ridiculousness.
Right.
Not
to mention that his comments like that suggest that these are not important issues. More important is what our interest rates are and what the inflation rate might be.
I mean, I don't think any of us really care about what the interest rate is.
Not when your children have been taken from you and enticed across a state border and mutilated through surgeries that are being done. And that's what California is advocating. That's now what New York is advocating. That's now what Maryland. And we've actually talked about this, what's happened in Maryland, where we've had children taken away from parents, put in places where they've been sexually abused by the very ones who are supposed to be protecting them under the guidance of the state.
Right. And this is the thing that when I look at these news articles about this, and you can see a map that's presented by a newspaper that has all of the states that are protecting children from being prescribed puberty blockers or gender affirming surgeries because they are untested. And you see those states in red, like those states are the dangerous ones. And the states like California and Washington State and Oregon, where they will take your children from you for not going along with this, or states like Vermont, where you just have that case of the dad and the daughter, who the daughter didn't want to have a boy in the locker room with her changing, and the dad, who was the soccer coach, lost his job because he defended his daughter. You know, those states are in gray, as if there's nothing going on there. There's no problem there. Those are the front. Everybody should not be worried about what's happening in those states. It's the states that are in red or yellow that are the problem.
Right.
It's just completely backward. And that is the kind of noise and aggravation that parents have to deal with as we're just simply trying to maintain our parental rights and protect our children and other people's children too.
I don't think that I need to make this point, but because it's become so pervasive that, I mean, everybody sees it. But I still think there are some that think, well, you know, it's not going to happen to my kids. You know, we go to church, and their kids may actually be in a good school, might even be in a private school, a religious school. And they're saying, well, this isn't going to happen to my kids. But when we're talking about what's coming out of California, where the state would say, if you don't affirm this notion. In fact, I was just talking to a friend this morning who's homeschooled his kids most of their lives, But they went to a public school for a couple of years, and these notions got in their head, and one of the kids thought they were transgender. And under this setting, and of course he's been able to, you know, minister and bring that child back, but under this, if you don't affirm this minor child that has this notion in their head, your child could be taken away. There is a battle for the soul of this nation. And I use it because it's really a battle for the soul of our children. And we need to realize that this has eternal significance and consequences. And this is where parents need to wake up and realize that this is an unparalleled. We talked about unprecedented in terms of the charges against Donald Trump at the beginning of the program. Never happened before. We live in a time that is unprecedented. We've never seen this type of attack on children, on the rights of parents to protect the children as God has instructed them to do, to teach them, to train them, to nurture them. All of that is under attack, and we cannot be passive. This is not a time to be a spectator. We have to be a participant in exercising our roles and defending those roles.
Absolutely. I mean, it feels like, you know, the battle was, you know, you will bake the cake, right? That was the initial start after Obergefell. You will bake the cake. You will acknowledge and affirm that we are legally married. And even as a Christian, you will bake our cake. And now the message seems to be, you will see the nudity at the White House, and you will have your children look at the porn in the libraries. You will affirm this lifestyle. You will affirm this identity. And as Christians, we can't, out of love and concern for people.
Three things.
We can't.
Three things we must do, Meg. What are they?
Pray, vote, and stand. I mean, are we ever really off our knees as mothers? I think we're just constantly in prayer for our children every minute of every day.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Jody Heiss, and thank you for being with us. David Salkeld will be back with you next week. We look forward to having you back here again for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.